Hallelujah. When God first started the ministry, and there was three of us, me, Kate, and Mom. And, you know, God has had us go through all kinds of things. We've seen many people come and go. And I just want to share today that not only is He faithful to keep us, but we must be faithful to keep Him. That is the most important thing. Things, you know, people think that, well, God knows. Yes, He knows. He knows all things. There isn't anything He doesn't know. But there's an area where He says, without cooperation, there is no protection. In other words, the word follow means to believe, and believe means to follow. And there's so many that do not follow. They say they believe, but they don't follow. The zeal for God's will. You know, God placed laws. In the Old Testament, the laws of the Ten Commandments was to expose the unrighteousness of man. And there are laws. So there are spiritual laws. There are physical laws. And there are what we call corporate laws. In the area that there is the body of Christ laws in general, but then each body has specific laws, specific guidelines to maintain. Because each ministry has a specific purpose and function. And so in that, each ministry has a certain, it's just like there's a federal laws and then there's individual state laws. And in these laws that God has established, it is not only to maintain, but it is to protect. Now, we know that there are good laws, evil laws, and righteous laws. Amen? There's good laws, there's evil laws. There's a law that says you can have an abortion. That's an evil law. There's a law that says same-sex marriage is okay. That's an evil law. Does everybody understand that? In fact, the Bible tells that if you're going to defile your body, God's going to kill you, so don't worry about it. So in this, there are evil laws, good laws, and righteous laws. And what begins to happen is these laws are, again, to protect, establish, and maintain, and expose. Because without these things, our enemy is not exposed. Judas was exposed because he was rebellious, and his rebellion did not start without pride and arrogance. And then it went to betrayal, and then it went to death. The enemy will use anyone at any time and anywhere to try to change the course of what God has established. It's like, you know, on a boat. And on the boat, there's a crew and so forth. And so many times, somebody else tries to take the rudder and change course. And these are areas where you and I must stand, because one of the things the enemy wants to do is access your life and change course. That's what he does. He's always out to deceive us to change course. One of the things that begins to happen, we begin to have a belief system. Because he's implementing this, our influences from the unseen, that belief system that comes by familiar spirits, lying spirits, and so forth, begins to infiltrate us and cause us to have a belief system that really is about a self system. It's not about a godly system. In other words, we're to be living for the kingdom and not for ourselves in that arena. So what happens is there's because of everything that we live in a contaminated world. Everything is contaminated. No matter what you touch is contaminated. Amen. You get on the internet, it's contaminated. Everything's associated with 666 and so forth and whatever. Things are contaminated. And in this contaminated world that is a fallen world ruled by Satan's kingdom, there is a process of purification that you and I go through. And in that process of purification, it's called spiritual cleansing. And the spiritual cleansing that God recycles me and you to all the time. And if we refuse to go in the recycle of spiritual cleansing, we stay contaminated. And we are not only a danger to ourselves, but we are a danger to others. And one of the first contaminations that infiltrate is pride. Pride and arrogance. Pride. It is the number one contamination to mankind. It is the number one killer to mankind. People pride themselves, which means personal reverence, into a deadly end. Would you turn to the book of Titus? In chapter 2, the book of Titus, chapter 2, in verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. For the grace of God that brings salvation. Now, what's grace mean? God's plan. It's not magical, mystical. You're not saved by magic. You're saved by God's plan. Amen? So if you're not cooperating with God's plan, are you saved? No. That's real simple, isn't it? It's a real simple thing to understand. But it's amazing how it's so manipulated, watered down, diluted, even highlighted in black. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So God's plan has appeared to everyone. For what? Salvation, an entrance into eternal land. Teaching us that, what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. I'm going to say it again. Verse 12, read it with me. Teaching that us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might, everyone say might. The word might means that there's cooperation needed. Does everybody get it? The word might means that there is cooperation needed. That he might redeem us from every what? Lawless deed. And purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Now, lawless deeds, in other words, those things we just talked about, laws, right? Laws are what? For protection and governing and things to that degree. So we see here that, to make this plain and simple, it's the plan of God was established to redeem us, to rescue us from works of contamination. Those are called lawless deeds because they are without law. Does everybody get it? They're law-breaking works. And if they're law-breaking works, what happens? We get contaminated. Amen? Those are ungodly acts. Okay, again, it says here, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed or deed of contamination and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. In other words, we are zealous not only for the house of God, but we are zealous for righteous acts. What does the word say? Those who thirst and hunger for what? Righteousness. Not good. For righteousness. Righteousness is established by God, not by man. See, man looks at good and evil. God looks at righteousness. There's a difference. And people that are carnal and live according to the ways of the world only can look at things that are good and evil. They do not comprehend righteousness. Righteousness has to do with the throne room of God. It has to do with the presence of God. It has to do with the laws of God that maintain a righteous living. It's holy, blameless, humble. It's different. It says, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify for himself his own special people. You want to be special people to God? Amen. Zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. In other words, stand firm on these things. Don't be a man pleaser, be a God pleaser. Maintain that arena. So what's going to be needed for this is there's going to be needed a spiritual cleansing. Why? Because he said purify for himself. There'll be a process of purification. It is called spiritual cleansing. And he brings every single one of us through a cycle of cleansing. And when we miss it, we get more contaminated. It's like somebody that goes around dusting their house. And those light bulbs that are not dusted, they keep skipping them. They look at all the things, the tables, everything that's dirty. But the light bulbs never get dusted. And you know what's beginning to happen? They begin to get dimmer, dimmer, and dimmer. But they don't know it. And so eventually the bulb blows. You know what they do? They replace it. Don't wait for your bulb to blow. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now we know that the serpent deceived Eve. Eve deceived Adam. In verse 6 it says, so when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now let me share something with you. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. The word says something that, even though Eve deceived Adam, but Adam wasn't really deceived. In fact, the word says that God rebuked Adam because he listened to his wife. Now, hello, don't get goofy on me. Hello. Why? Because she committed a lawless deed, and he listened to her. Man wasn't contaminated because Eve committed a lawless deed. It's because Adam disobeyed God. Does everybody understand that? It's because Adam disobeyed God. He pleased his wife before he pleased God. And it brought a contamination not only on him, to all of mankind. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. So, Adam's disobedience to God brought spiritual contamination to the human race. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Is everybody there? In verse 13. Let's read it together. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was what? Not deceived. But the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she'll be saved in childbearing if what? If they continue in what? Faith, love, holiness, and self-control. So again, he knew. He chose to please his wife instead of pleasing God, and he disobeyed God. And disobedience, which is rebellion, brings contamination. Does everybody get it? His wife became an idol. Come on. His wife became an idol. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So do idols bring contamination? Yes, they do. Does rebellion bring contamination? Yes, it does. Have you ever been rebellious? Don't raise your hand. So if we don't go through the spiritual cleansing, the cycle that God gives us, we stay the same. Or we get worse, don't we? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. It says what? But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for what? Dishonor. Therefore, if anyone does what? Cleanses himself. I'm telling you, there is a cycle where the Holy Spirit says, yo, I've heard your prayers, I've watched you, but now it's time to get deeper and cleanse, because you're full of pride, you're full of arrogance, you're rebellious. See, there are things that are rebellious that we don't even realize we're being rebellious to. Why? Because we lose vision, we lose sight, we become blinded. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the what? Latter, not the future, the past. You know, the past was 2 seconds ago. He will be a vessel full for what? Honor and sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Or what they would say, righteous work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue what? Righteousness. Again, righteousness is something released from the throne room of God. It is not our righteousness, it's the righteousness of the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call out on the Lord with a pure... With who? Those who have a what? Wow. So if somebody's rebellious, are you going to call out with them? No. I'm not going to hang around with people that are rebellious. They're outer quarters. I'm not even going to promote what they do. No way. Because that isn't right in the eyes of God. That's an act of man. That's not an act of God. Let's go further. Verse 23. But what? Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they what? Generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be what? gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, correcting those who are in opposition, correcting those who are rebellious, correcting those who are out of line, correcting those who are contaminated, not fellowshipping with them, correcting them. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may what? Know the truth, and that they may come to their senses, repent, hello, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So all of us is either doing the will of God or the will of the devil. Now, there's times during the day you'll be doing the will of God. Next thing you know, you'll be doing the will of the devil. Because there's a point in time every day that there's something that we sin. That's why we repent. But if there's not repentance every day, see, that's why it's important to keep a cleansing process for yourself every single day. But then there's a time when the Holy Spirit will bring us to a deep cleansing cycle and begins to expose things. And you're going to either reject them or accept them. You'll consider them common or you'll consider them holy. And there's a difference. This cleansing from the old life is associated with works. It's associated with a belief system, because we pick up ungodly belief systems, selfish belief systems, associations, idols, things that we pick up. We don't even know you pick up. That's why there must be that time when the Holy Spirit says, hey, let's search some of this stuff through. You know, you've been putting a lot of time in this instead of this. You know, you've been touching this. You know, you haven't been a true example. Where's your witness of truth? You know, you've compromised this. You know, you haven't submitted to authority. Does everybody understand? All of these little things that, because the Bible says a little leaven leavens a whole lump, right? Isaiah 1. In verse 16, the Holy Spirit just quickened me to something. He says, all the times a thought comes that nobody will see. Nobody will see. It's called the voice of contamination. Nobody will see. Nobody will see. Nobody will see. Do you know that manipulation is a voice of contamination? And we need to do a teaching on the voice of contamination, I guess. Nobody will see. Just that thought alone is the voice of contamination. Nobody will see. Verse 16. Read it with me. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Hello? He sees it all. He knows what you do on the internet. He knows what you do behind closed doors. He knows what you do when you're alone. He knows. He knows your thoughts. He knows your motives. He knows your attitude. Hello? He knows it all. Do you know that your motives can be contaminating? Put away the evil of your doings from my eyes, he says. Learn to what? Learn to what? Do good. Learn to do good. In other words, learn the righteous way. Seek what? Justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Verse 18. Come on, everybody read it with me. Do y'all got Bibles? Praise God. You better have. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If, hello, if, what's that mean? Cooperation, man. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be what? Devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Hallelujah. See, what the enemy does, so you do something stupid. The Bible says what you sow is what you reap. You may not reap that moment, but you're gonna. Even after you repent, you still reap. It just stops at long reaping. Even when David blew it, The Lord said, okay, you got three. Okay, I know you have repented, but you got three choices. Hello. He told him, these are three things that you can do. And then after he got caught in fornication and killing his right-hand man, David lost his son. He was told he could never build the house of God because he reaped. He had to pass building the house of God to his son. But God still honored David because he was a man after his own heart. Is everybody okay? Washing yourselves is important. You wash yourself with the word of God. You get washed in the presence of God. See, when the washing comes, also healing comes too. Why? Because sickness is a contamination. It's contamination. We all get sick, don't we? We get contaminated. Welcome to the earth of contamination. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, wash yourselves with the word of God. It's the word of promises. Gives us hope. 1 Corinthians 5. Is everybody okay? Spiritual cleansing. It's a process of purification. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 6, what does it say? Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven, what? Leavens the whole lump. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, your old ways, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. So what he's saying, that's that cycle he brings us through. It's the same cycle as the feast of the Lord. Those feasts are purifying cycles. It's a process of purification. The feasts are associated with spiritual cleansings. Go to Matthew 12. Leaven is associated with evil. Purge the evil out of your life. Matthew 12. Is everybody there? Matthew chapter 12. And verse 43. Would you read it with me, please? When a what? Hello. When a spirit of contamination. So where there's contamination, there is a spirit. The Bible says where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Where there's a spirit of contamination, there's bondage. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. The house is the temple. And when he comes, he finds it empty and swept and put in order. Nice. But it's not filled with the Spirit. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter that and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So it shall also be with this wicked generation. Unclean spirits bring contamination. Does everybody get it? They are the carriers of contamination. It is called an unclean spirit. They can walk through your body and leave a contamination. Now, accursed items are a contamination. Amen? The Bible tells us in Joshua 7, I'm not going to go there, we've been through there plenty of times. Accursed items, cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, pornography, all of these things are contaminations. Why? Because when an individual gazes on them, touches them, it gives right for a spirit to access them. And let me tell you, after they've been fed for a long time and they were removed, they still claim you as their house. They come back over and over and over. Pride, the spirit of pride comes back over. And why? Because pride's got to go before. Why? Pride goes before the what? Fall. So pride will always come first. Boom, boom, knocking. Hit pride knocks on your door every day, all day long. Pride, pride, pride. Why? Because if he knows he can access them, he can invite the rest and they come and have a party in your house. And they don't clean it up. And they don't pay rent. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. Pride, pride. Pride is the one that holds the key to unlock your door. Does everybody understand that? These are unclean spirits. That's why pride goes before a fall, or pride goes before an unclean spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Is everybody okay? Let me share that. God brings us through spirit. When there's spiritual testings, things will come across your path. Circumstances will come. Decisions will have to be made. Those are all spiritual tests. Decisions are associated with spiritual testings. Does everybody get it? That's how God tests you. He brings a circumstance in our life where we must make a decision. That decision is a test from God to either expose you to yourself before he exposes you to everyone else. Okay. And the purpose of the testing, hello, is to bring what? Cleansing. Has everybody got it? It's to bring cleansing. Why? Because your trials and tribulations expose your enemy. Does everybody get it? They do what? Expose your enemy. And the only way that that's going to happen is because God's going to test you with decision making. Oh, glory. I pray we get this. Because some people just ain't getting it. 2 Corinthians 7. Is everybody there? Now let's start at chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. We all know this. If we choose to accept it, believe it, follow it, obey it, the process can start. Do not be what? Unevenly yoked with what? Unbelievers. Okay, the word believe means to what? So if a person is not following, are they an unbeliever? Hello. I mean, you can have a brother and sister that's not following? Okay. For what fellowship has righteousness with what? And what communion has light with what? Darkness. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with a what? Unbeliever. And what agreement has the temple of God with what? Idols. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How many of y'all want that? Amen, man. That's what we should be living for. Therefore, here we go again. Cooperation time. If you'll come out from among them, hello, come out from among them means you're not going to make those decisions that are pleasing to man, but are pleasing to God. Why? Because that's where you're going to be tested, whether you're contaminated or not. By your decision making. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't what? Touch what is what? Unclean. Do you know your decisions can be touching unclean things? Things we agree with. And I will receive you and I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore what? Having these promises, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves. Time for a cycle. Re-cleanse. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. Let me tell you something that happens. When that cleansing is completed, there is a reverence of God that is refreshed and brand new. It is so new that you don't want to do nothing. That purifying cleansing is such a reverence of God's presence and holiness that you don't want to grieve. You don't want to do anything without confirmation. Hello? Because it's a cleanse. It's so clean now. Whoa. It's like fresh after deliverance. It's like, whoa. Sheesh. And after those demons are all gone and everything, whoa. Man, you don't want to touch nothing. You don't want to go nowhere. You want to just stay home. Hey, Dad, what's going on? I don't want nothing in between me and you. Hallelujah. Why? Because that cleansing perfects the holiness of the fear of God. And if you don't have it, you're contaminated. If you're making decisions without confirmations, you're contaminated. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 1. Torment is contamination. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Why? Because if there's freedom, there's no contamination in that area. Now, we might be contaminated in one member, but not another. We want to be fully cleansed. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 7, it says something very important. It says what? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we walk in the light, now let me share with you, walking in the light is not contamination. And we have fellowship with one another. In other words, we are association with light. We don't associate with gray. We don't associate with darkness. We don't associate with sin. We don't associate with rebellion. We don't associate with anything that's contaminated. We expose it. Does everybody understand that? We expose it. We have no fellowship with it. We expose it. Why? So it can stop. Didn't Jesus come to expose? Amen? So it what? So it would stop. Listen, if you got to lie to make money, you're contaminated. If you got to manipulate, you're contaminated. If you have to justify things that you're making decisions on, there's contamination. If you got to compromise the truth, there's contamination. All of those areas bring contamination. Is everybody okay? Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we know that we sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness by confession. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Titus chapter 3, spiritual cleansing. And let the cycle begin. Oh, hallelujah. Titus 3, starting at verse 1. Let's speak it together, please. It says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, his plan, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, 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 constantly examine contamination, constantly examine yourself and one another. Listen, we judge by the fruit, don't we? How many of y'all know a decision is a fruit? Somebody's not making right decisions, there's contamination. I want you to affirm constantly that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. That person is a granola, nutty and fruity. Hallelujah. So the purging and regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And let me share something with you. Many lack this. Many lack that. They reject the cycle of cleansing. They get caught up in their doing and reject the cleansing. They get busy doing. They get busy with life. Oh, I don't have time for that. And the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit does not push. He goes, that's it. Then he steps back. It's time. He doesn't come up to you and say, hey, man, it's time. That'd be your pastor. He comes up. It's time. Again, I always go back to the first time he said to me, Guy, it's time to repent for all your unfulfilled vows. Unfulfilled vows? Yes. And when he began to explain to me, every time I said something I didn't do, it was a lie and sin. Yeah, I'll call you back in 10 minutes. I didn't do it. I just brought a curse on myself. I'll be there. Never show up. Curse. Does everybody get this? See, this is the gentleness of the Holy Spirit that loves us so much. He wants to engulf us and embrace us, but he can't through the fullness because of contamination. And let me tell you who replaces him. Familiar spirits. They're unclean. Oh, they'll promote you. Familiar spirits are promoters of pride because they know that pride has the key to open your door for demons to come in. James chapter 4. Is everybody getting this? Anybody getting this? Hallelujah! James 4. Verse 7. Now let's start at 6. We might as well get the full course of this meal. Let's read it together. But he gives more grace. God's plan. Therefore he said, God what? He what? So if God's resisting the pride, the proudful, guess who steps in? Hello. Familiar spirit to promote pride. Does everybody get it? He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Let me tell you, people are trying to resist the devil, but because of their contamination, the familiar spirit is replacing the Holy Spirit. They're not sensitive enough to know what it is. And it's promoting rebellion. And they don't even get it. They think, oh, this is fine, this is all of God. Yes. God told me, God led me, God this, God that, familiar. God speaks to you that much, you got familiar spirits. Hello? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Let me tell you, you may think you're submitting, but you're not. And you may think you're resisting the devil, but they're coming in another form. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Yes. Psalm 19. Training for reigning. Psalm 19. Is everybody there? Woohoo! Verse 12. Who can what? Understand his errors. Look at what his prayer is. Cleanse me from what? Secret faults. These are things he doesn't know. Lord, expose. How about presumptuous sin? Keep back your servant also from what? Presumptuous sin. Don't let me assume. Let them not have dominion over me. Listen, those are familiar spirits. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be what? Blameless. And I shall be innocent of what? Great transgression. What does he say? Cleanse me. This is what, listen, there first must be a desire to be cleansed. It's what we go to the Lord for every day. Lord, cleanse me. Search me through. Remove those things that offend you and cause me to stumble. Cleanse me. Go to Psalm 51. In verse 2. What does it say? Psalm 51, verse 2. Another prayer. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. This is his prayer. Let me share with you, the Holy Spirit will give you a psalm every morning if you're willing to hear. Why? That psalm is for you to pray. And he'll give you some psalms that you're hearing. It will be like, whoa. And you'll see it manifest during the day. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my what? Transgression. And my sin is always what? Before me. Against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in what? Iniquity. In other words, you and I were born. We have inherited iniquities. I was brought forth in iniquity, and the sin of my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a what? Clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, and do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Wow. Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Spiritual cleansing. In verse 11. Let's speak it together. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For the testament is in a force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. So in this again, Jesus paid the price for me and you so that that re-cleansing cycle could be available. Again, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, he's always trying to bring us to that cycle. Be prepared. It's coming. Be prepared. Again, that we reflect those in the areas of the feast of the Lord. Those are re-cleansing cycles. Amen. Praise God. Go to Mark 16. Mark 16. It's just burning my spirit today that we've got to get this in. Hallelujah. Mark 16. 16. Mark 16, 16, 16, 16, and 16. Is everybody there? Verse 16, let's speak it together. He who what? What's the word believe mean? Follow. So he who what? Follows. Now again, after we've come through the cleansing process, that cycle, we want to maintain cleansing, don't we? But we're not, if you ever notice that the reverence of God, the fear of the Lord begins to fade. So we have to go through that cleansing cycle again, even though we're maintaining our own cleansing. He who believes, he who follows and is baptized will be saved. Now, he's not talking about the baptism of water. Does everybody get that? Okay. But he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe or those who follow. What's the signs? It says, in my name they will what? They will cast out demons. Hello. Why? Because unclean spirits are contaminating. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. Now, serpents are associated with demonic forces. You're not going to dance with serpents, okay? You're not going to drink cyanide. Hello, religious idiots. You will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly or by no means hurt them, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will recover. They might not get healed immediately, but they will recover. Sometimes people get healed immediately. Amen? It's a miracle. But then there's a process of recovery, which is healing. Amen? So there's a difference. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1, in verse 5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, a faithful witness and the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, and he did what? He washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And I want to close at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Spiritual cleansing. Spiritual testing. Oh, glory. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love that the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In other words, sin does not have dominion over him. Amen? It doesn't mean we won't sin, but it doesn't have dominion over us. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Everybody got it? Hallelujah. Again, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. So allow the Holy Spirit to bring you through the spiritual cleansing. Again, there's a celebration of the feast right now, the Feast of Tabernacle. It's a time of cleansing. It's a time to get rid of contamination. It's a time to be set apart. That's why we're here, right? Amen. Praise God. In His Presence by Jason Upton. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. I'm asking today, Lord, that there be a penetration of your spirit to each and every one's spirit, soul, and body, mind. That the reality of your desire to keep us cleansed and sanctified, purified for you, not for us, but for you. Because you want us to be as close to you as possible. So, Lord, let this word be imparted to each and every one. Let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. And let it be protected by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name.